You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into a championship edition of the Sports Objective. As now it's Eastern time, we're recording this live at 1:07. So good morning, and for some of you, it might still be evening. Welcome into the show, the guy that's been on the edge of his couch, seat, recliner, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? Yes, a historic night in ECU basketball history. The ladies make it to the NCAA tournament for just the third time ever. And I got to say that ECU, we see you, we got to incorporate that into our open.
Yeah, I really like that. And we have to give a shout out to the producer, co-host. He is the man. We appreciate Bubba Rosenbaum. Dude, what's up?
You're fired up about the Pirates going dancing. It's been a long time, 16 years. The women going dancing for the third time in program history. Tied the school record for wins tonight, 23-9 now. We had won 23 on two other occasions. And great night to be a Pirate. It was an awfully rough start. Went 11-2 after the first quarter, and then we trailed 13-4 with about 7.5 or so minutes left in the first half. But Alexia Rose, as we'll discuss, and really came off the bench and provided a spark. And then, despite Danae McNeil, struggling to put the ball in the basket, and she was picked up by Sania Johnson, and Johnson and Rose really provided the spark we needed when the typical faces and names weren't necessarily producing on the offensive end.
No question about it. When you have the top two scorers for both Houston and for East Carolina, so you have those two that you would think would be the marquee matchup. And at one point, guys, Kyle, they had both of them had 0 points in the second half. They still, in fact, Danae McNeil, she finally scored 4 points in the third quarter. And if you had told me that, I would have said that East Carolina would have probably lost in a blowout. But just goes to show you that it's a team sport, right?
Yeah, not McNeil's best night, but you know what? She's done a lot of great things as a Pirate, and will continue to. I was really stunned by something Bubba said. 16 years.
Yes.
2007. You know, when you say that, it don't seem like it's been 16 years ago, but my goodness, 16 years since the last time he went to the NCAA tournament. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it really has. So, huge night for the Lady Pirates. You know, it was an ugly basketball game. I think you had two tired basketball teams.
Yes.
It was a slugfest out there. Very competitive back and forth. You know, I kind of said at halftime, I said in one of the group texts, I said that was their best shot. That was Houston's best shot in the first half. We played as bad as we could, and they were up by 7. I thought right then we'd win the game.
It seemed like to me, I'm glad you brought that up, Kyle. It seemed like to me, and Bubba helped me out on this, but it seemed like that the legs for Houston was just a little bit worse than ours, and that we had a little more zip than they did. And it showed in the second half. I felt like that we came out and you know, Kyle was telling you before in the green room, and Bubba can attest to this. It's like, please God, don't have a third quarter, a typical third quarter this year where, you know, you lose a lead or you get further and further behind. In this particular case, it was something different. When I saw the way they came out in the third quarter, I agreed with Kyle, the fact that we were only down seven and then we're fighting. I said, man, we're going to win this game.
Yeah, outscored them 14-7 in the third quarter because it was 30 all, going into the fourth quarter. And then 46-44 final and came down to the very end. But and just so proud of the ladies and all they have accomplished. And just finding a way when so much was going against you, down 11, and you just absolutely cannot buy a bucket, one field goal, because two of those 4 points in the first 13 minutes of the game were free throws, where we had split a pair on a couple of different occasions. And despite not shooting free throws well tonight, I think we were something like 8 of 22, we still found a way to get it done.
Hey, another thing, Kyle, get this, because you love championships. And Bubba, check this, but I think I'm right on this. I'm going to do this on the top of my head, and it's 1:12 in the morning. I believe this is the only the fourth time ever in program history we've won a conference tournament. 1982, 1983, 2007, obviously, and now 2023. So this is a historical night for the program, for the athletic department. So happy for John Gilbert. I know Ryan Robinson, by the way, I got to give him a shout out. And if I had a hat, I would tip my hat. Guys, he was the one that was really high on and helped John Gilbert with the hiring process of Kim McNeil and Corey McNeil as associate head coach. And so got to give him a shout out for a great night to be a Pirate and to have. It's just, I'm still in shock. Not that they were not capable of doing it, but you know, when it comes to basketball, we have not had a lot of good luck.
Yeah, the ladies have had some success. You know, you mentioned the once in NCAA tournament in 07, but we've been to plenty of NITs and CBIs since then, or CITs, whatever. We've been to the NIT and the CIT in ladies basketball under
Heather Macy
in the NCAA tournament under
Sharon Baldwin-Tenner.
So
we've had some success. It's just been a while, and I think this was kind of Kim McNeil's year where she needed to be successful. I don't think she had to do this, but I'm glad she did.
And like Coach McNeil referenced in the post game, as far as the fatigue that you guys mentioned, obviously playing your third game in as many days, and that's going to be a factor. But also, let's not forget that these teams defensively, they're two of the top defensive teams in the country, especially as far as turnovers forced, ranking second and third nationally. I believe coming into tonight's game, the Pirates were second and Houston was third, and forcing 25 turnovers per game. Yeah. So you knew points were going to be hard to come by. I think the over-under in this game was something like 119. And it ended up being 90.
Yeah, good point. 46-44. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And just the fact that, you know, this, what's great about this story is we talked about, I know they talked about it in the press conference, but Kyle, how would you, you know, we talk about all the time about how it really doesn't matter about polls. We like it to talk about it with the media and the fans, but they were picked dead last, 11th in the conference, and they go from 11th to first, and I believe it was Micah Dennis, but one of them said in the press conference, post-game press conference, that that's a journey. I believe it was Micah, and it's true. Like, you go from – they didn't like that. They knew they had more talent than 11th. I wouldn't have said third, but I would have said maybe middle of the pack, and they ended up finishing third in the regular season, and that really helped them because that made them where they had just to play the quarterfinals, semis, and finals, three games in 3 days.
Yeah, in February, we were the best team in the conference, and it continued over now into March. So, finished the third regular season, conference tournament champions, on to the NCAA tournament. How about this, guys? and we're going to carry over from last academic year, but baseball team, super regionals, football team, bowl game, women's basketball team, NCAA tournament. You know, tomorrow we play Houston and the men. And the men are going to, if we lose tomorrow to Houston, which is likely, we'll have a losing record, but we have 16 wins. There's a chance maybe we might get a CBI invite.
I thought we would be 16-16, right?
No, I believe we'd be 16.
Yeah, we'll have a losing record.
16-17.
Okay.
Yeah, 16-17.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if we get a CBI invite. That would be something if the men made the postseason too. Beat Houston tomorrow, and I guarantee you we will.
And the way we're playing right now, Kyle, if we were to get a CBI invite, at 16-17, this team is playing well enough that it could make a little dent and do some damage, and you know, and maybe even push for 19 or 20 wins and make a run in the thing.
I believe that's entirely possible. And the CBI has taken teams with losing records before. It'll be depending, you know, are we on their radar? Is Schwartz pushing for this? Does Gilbert, you do have to pay a little money for it. Does Gilbert want to pony up the money? I think now would be the time to do that if we had the opportunity. If we get the opportunity to do that, I think we need to accept it.
Yeah, I think so, because this coaching staff, we talked about this before, this coaching staff has been very exciting. They've done a great job, guys. Think about this. They've done a great job recruiting. And so you have a chance where you can go in a recruit's house and say, hey, in our first year, we made it a CBI. Yeah, it's not the NCAAs, but
it's
a step in the right direction. And, you know, having those guys come in, you get a couple more players that maybe that we were hoping for. And all of a sudden you steal a few that probably would have gone normally to another school.
And the conference gets a lot easier in basketball next year.
And you have such a young roster. Think about it.
We can keep them.
We'll see, you know, what it looks like for the 23-24 season. But, you know, you could just be losing Luigi DeBoe and then also
it's only like three.
Also, right? David Kasunga and I. So just imagine if that is how it pans out. With that nucleus that we have returning and then what we have coming in. And like you said, Kyle, and not an easy conference, but an easier. You look at it this year, how close we were to winning 20 games. Because you had.
Here's the thing, Bubba. Is there a team in this conference on a given night right now with this basketball team, if we play our best basketball outside of Houston, that we don't think we can beat? And that would include UCF, who just blew us out, Memphis. You know, if we play our best basketball, we can do it. So now Houston's going to be gone. And, you know, so next year, you know, the big dog will be Memphis, you know, Temple, UAB. You know, it changes the dynamic of the conference because, you know, if you took Houston out of this tournament, if Houston wasn't in this tournament and we won today and tomorrow we were playing, let's say, Tulane or UCF, we'd be all sitting here thinking, man, we might be able to win this thing if Houston wasn't in it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is when you have Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati leaving, like you said, Kyle, it does make it easier. I think football, we have a good shot of winning a conference. And I'm just saying
down the line, yes,
down the line. And then I'm talking about the one surprise for me, and it may help us, is baseball is actually going to be better.
Yeah, baseball should be better. Florida Atlantic's good. You got Rice's tradition. They've been awful, but to be sure, at some point they'll get back to what they were. But we've gotten off track here talking about the conference, but you know, don't want to take away from what the women did tonight, because that's what the main focus of the show for tonight is, to talk about the ladies and the accomplishment they had tonight. And what will the seed be? Will we be a 12 seed? I saw somebody say a 13 seed. Any idea, Bubba, Dave, bracketology? Do you guys have any projections on where we'll be seated or guesses?
Without looking at some of the other automatic qualifiers that have won their conference tournaments, I believe it was Richard Allsbrooks that threw that possibility of getting a 13 out there, and I think that's entirely possible with our record of 23-9. I haven't checked, but our net RPI, if you will, was probably, my guess would be low to mid 80s, because I know before our current run that we were 90s, in the right? low 90s or maybe even the high 80s. So we may have even crept up into the 70s. Who knows? I'll check and see. But I definitely think it's entirely possible to maybe be a 13 or something.
What's TV What's TV for the ladies NCAA tournament? ESPN?
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, I know Richard Osberg, Richard's getting a lot of love tonight. Down in Greenville, South Carolina, right, Bubba? Is that where what's great about this pod system, and it helps out too, is that they were talking about, can't think of the name of the arena, but they're in Greenville.
Yeah, Greenville, South Carolina, Bilo Center.
It used to be Bilo Center, but that's what I was going to say. It's not the Bilo Center anymore. I can't think
of it. Yeah, it's another corporate sponsor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing, Kyle. I got used to saying the Bilo Center, of course. I think it was a few years ago. It's a new sponsor. But anyway, at that arena, that's where Richard was saying that would be fantastic. It's sad because as much as I love my Lady Pirates, I love my son dearly. And he has basketball, a big basketball tournament and a big baseball tournament in the same weekend. So I wish
Secours Wellness Arena.
There you go. Thank you.
What is it called?
That's where I saw the, of course, the Pirates and on the men's side defeat South Carolina.
What's the name of the arena again, Bubba?
BON, Bonsecours Wellness Arena.
That's a horrible name. Much prefer Bilo Center.
Now you know why it was so easy for me to remember the Bilo Center. I was trying to think of, I knew it was not the Bilo Center, but I couldn't think of the name, and then went, thank you, Bubba.
I'll settle for the Bonsecours Indoor Practice Facility right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how about you know who we should approach about an indoor practice facility? Bubba, you'll appreciate this. You know who we should appreciate about an indoor, because they're all over North Carolina, particularly in the eastern part of the state, but they're all over. You can't go 10 feet without one. They have the market in eastern North Carolina, so they should might as well have the Dollar General Indoor Practice Facility. If there's ever been a company that should sponsor a practice facility in East Carolina, it is Dollar General, because they are on every freaking corner in every little town in Eastern North Carolina.
They have a great, and you know what? They have a great, not to get too off topic, but they have a great business model, because you're right, Kyle. Like, you can be down in Duplin County.
It sounds like a horrible business model. Open a store every 10 feet, but it works.
No, they have, like, for example, the big city of Stokes, Beargrass, Columbia. Like, I mean, you think about it. If you're in a small town and you have
I agree with you there, but like
Stanton'sburg has a Dollar General. I mean, I could start thinking
from that aspect. I agree with you, but when you go into Goldsboro or Kinston or Greenville and they got 10 of them some bitches, that's my problem.
I wasn't talking about that part. I was talking about the fact of the small town. I mean, Beargrass has population 100, okay? And I'm not making, I'm from Martin, Beargrass, but it was
so Jamesville's got one.
Yeah, Jamesville has one.
Yeah.
Williamson has one.
LaGrange has one.
There you go. So anyway, enough of Dollar General. Until they give the money for the indoor practice facility, no more talk of Dollar General until they give them.
We need to get a campaign going. We get the CEO of Dollar General on here. And so you got stores everywhere in Eastern North Carolina. We need your name on the indoor practice facility. Make it happen, DG.
Or
not David. Not David Glenn. I'm DG as in Dollar
General. I know. Or we're gonna have a protest where we're gonna stop.
We'll go to the Family Dollar, bitches.
I forget you. All right, Bubba. Now let's go to. We're all giddy because of the time it is, and the women pulling it off tonight, 46-44 over Houston. And I have some more comments on that, but I know, Bubba, we want to go to the post game, right?
Yeah, here are the thoughts of East Carolina head coach Kim McNeil, as well as some of the Pirate players following the 46-44 win over the Houston Cougars in the AAC championship game at Dickey's Arena out in Fort Worth, Texas.
Sania Johnson and Amaya Joyner. Coach, before we get into questions, would you please give us a few comments about tonight's game?
It's just surreal. Just an unbelievable game by both teams. Both teams fought extremely hard, just the way we did two weeks ago when we went into triple overtime. Very low scoring game, but both teams really make their money off of their defensive effort. And, you know, tough that somebody had to lose, but I'm glad that we finished on top. And I'm just so happy for this program, so happy for these young women sitting up here to be picked 11th. To be picked 11th, and now we're going to the NCAA tournament. It's just unbelievable. But you know, I have to give all the credit to them. They've fought and battled, and you know, put up with my mouth and me getting on them and yelling at them. I know at times they probably want to tell me to shut up, but I knew we had talent. I knew we had talent. Obviously, inexperience to the fact of playing in this type of environment, and for these young ladies who have never experienced winning, to never experience winning 20 games, to never experience winning one game in a conference tournament, to come here and win this today, it just shows just unbelievable resiliency by my team and by my coaching staff.
All right, Coach. I think we're going to go right to Zoom if we have.
If you have any questions on the Zoom, just go ahead, use raise hand feature. We'll start with David Richmond, please.
Coach, very happy for you. It's been a great ride this year, especially the last few weeks. Can you talk about mental toughness? Mental toughness seems to be something you guys have had, especially this tournament, and I just wanted you to talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I've been preaching all year to them that, you know, it all starts in practice. You know, and we're still growing in that aspect, you know, but I tell them, you know, I'm not a type of coach that believes in when the lights come on, we shine. You know, we grind it out in practice every single day, regardless if we just played a game. If we're going to step on the court, we're going to go hard. We know no other way. And this is why we did it, to prepare for moments like this. And, you know, coming into this game, I told them, I said, you know, it's going to come down to the team that's the most mentally tough and the most physically tough. Both teams have played three games. Both teams play a very physical defensive style of play. And so at this point, everything's going to become mental. And, you know, we scored 2 points in the first quarter. 2 points, you know, but we kept getting stops. We kept rebounding. And we just made some winning plays down the stretch.
We'll go next to Bubba Rosenbaum, please.
Coach, about 7 minutes remaining in the first half, we were down 13-4. Talk about Alexia Rose coming off the bench, the spark she provided, back-to-back possessions. She took the ball strong in the basket and made buckets.
Yeah, Alexia was huge coming off the bench. You know, to come in, you know, in that type of environment with the type of pressure and defense that they play, to come in and make the plays that she made, you know, broke the press, got to the hole, you know, got an and one, hit a three, played some really good defense. You know, I think this year, not that I think, but I know this is the deepest team that we've had. You know, Isis Adams came off the bench and gave us some really good minutes. And, you know, we knew we were going to have to go to the bench because we had some tired legs out there, and for them to be ready to go, to be ready to do whatever they had to do to help us win, just unbelievable. And I'm just so proud of these young women.
Other questions? Questions for the student athletes? Go back to David, please.
Sania, you've been so clutch in this tournament, and I love your game and the fact that you made some big baskets. I tell my son and daughter all the time to drive to the basket, and you're like going through defenders, making plays, especially crucial in the first and second quarter in that first half. Can you talk about that?
I know that's what I do. So when they give the ball to me, that's what I'm looking to do. For my teammates, they believe in me to get the ball in that situation and attack the basket and do what I'm supposed to do. So,
for the student athletes as well, if each of you, you know, could answer this, you know, I'm sure you saw that you were picked 11th, you know, in the preseason. You know, a lot of times those predictions aren't far off from where they'd be, right? How was it that you were able to not fall into that trap of believing, you know, what at least what other people thought about you?
I mean, that gave us motivation. I mean, number 11 to championships, like, that's a journey. That is an amazing journey that not a lot of people can talk about. So the fact that we could tell our story is amazing.
Coach, are there any parallels that can be drawn there? I'm here, like you said, you had 2 points in the first quarter, but then you look and you held them to 11. I mean, is there any kind of parallel you can draw between overcoming that kind of adversity season long versus, you know, sitting there after 10 minutes with 2 points on the board.
Yeah, and that's what we kept telling them. You know, we only scored 2, but they only scored 11. You know, we go in halftime, and I think we're down by 7, but, you know, we missed some free throws. We missed some layups, and, you know, we told them we just keep defending, keep rebounding the ball. Keep defending, keep rebounding the ball, and the ball's going to fall through the hole. I thought we got some offensive rebounds the first half. We kind of just chucked it up there instead of taking our time. I thought we settled down in the second half and just made some plays. I mean, the play at the end of the game, you know, when there's so many seconds left to go on the clock, 17 seconds or whatever it was, and we get 2 big stops, you know, that's who we are. And we do it every single day in practice. You know, we do a segment where, you know, defensively we have to get 10 stops before the offense scores 12. And we only get 1 point for a stop, where the offense gets a 2 or 3, you know, depending on what they score. And so that's what we kept saying at the end of the game. This is practice. This is practice. This is the first to 10. We got to get 10. We got to get 1 stop to win this. So, you know, we're built on defense. You know, when we score the ball really well, that's like an extra, but we're built on defense, and that's how we won the game.
We'll go back to Bubba for the next question, please.
This question is for Amaya. Amaya, talk about the emphasis on rebounding. I know, obviously, in the game against Memphis, despite the win, out-rebounded by 17 tonight. You out-rebound Houston 55-47, and you had 15 of those.
That's just what you do?
Sorry. Yeah, rebounding is what I do. My offense game wasn't on tonight, so I had to help my team do something. I had to contribute. To do something besides scoring.
Yep.
Scoring. I'm sorry.
We say that all the time. You know, there's always ways you can help the team. You know, sometimes people get so caught up in scoring the ball, but, you know, we preach to our team all the time, like, there's other ways that you can help. You can play defense, you can rebound, you can take charges, you can dive on the floor, you can make winning games. So, you know, we really preach not getting so hung up on the offensive end of the floor, to find other ways. And she's been huge for us all season, rebounding the ball. In this tournament, she was definitely huge.
We'll go back to David for the next one. David Richmond.
I don't know if you ladies know this or not. I know you probably know it's the third time in the history of the school to go to the NCAA tournament, 1982, 2007, and now it's great to say 2023 for you ladies. I don't know if you know this, but it's only the fourth time, I believe, in the history of the school to have a conference tournament. You're part of history, so I'm proud of you and proud of Coach McNeil, Coach Corey, everybody, the whole staff has done such an amazing job coming in 4 years ago. I was on the bandwagon. A lot of people were early on. But I'm sure after tonight, there's going to be a lot of people on the bandwagon. It's going to be kind of crowded on that bandwagon. But I hope there's more people. And how about the fans? The fans have really come out this year. I know for you, they're at Williams Arena, Menchie's Coliseum. Can you talk about the fans? Because there are a lot of people. It's blowing up on social media right now, let me tell you.
Yeah, you know, I just thinking back to those last couple of games, it's just it's just hard feeling. And I think back to my first year, and I remember specifically playing Memphis at home and coming, you know, 2 minutes left before we start the game, and literally being able to count the amount of people in the gym. It was like 50 people. And, you know, we've worked really hard, you know, to try to build, you know, the attendance up, because, you know, people in the stands help us in more ways than one. You know, when that crowd gets behind us, especially those last couple of games, chin ECU, purple gold, I just can't say it thank you enough to Pirate Nation, you know, for continuing to believe in us, and them understanding that women's basketball at ECU is relevant now. We're here to stay. We are here to stay, and this is not the end. This is going to be a tradition from here on out.
Thank you, Coach. Good luck to you ladies in the tournament, and maybe you can bring some more hardware home to Greenville.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Coach. Well, here's a shout out to your SID, Cole, for his help this week.
And thank you also to members of the media who hung with us till 12:33 a.m. Eastern time to join us.
And they have the car.
Yes.
You can have your hands.
All right. We're back.
Dave, you're on mute.
Yeah, it would help being 1:35 in the morning live. I was talking away and forgot about that. But, guys, what a great night is what I was saying. The fact that we have a, a championship. And hey, our fellas still win it. They got the win today. I'm really excited about that because we I know everybody said we play Houston, but after this, I mean, anything's possible, man. I'm so giddy about the fact that we have the championship for the ladies, year four for Kim McNeil. Bubba, I mean, excuse me, Kyle, you made the great point. You have the win in the bowl there for the Pirates. You have, of course, this tonight. I mean, what's next for the Pirate program?
Yeah, baseball, hopefully. Baseball. Doing Super what it regional. Does. But, you know, Dave, away, I was listening to you there at the end of the press conference with Coach McNeil. I thought you were going to host your own podcast there. And there at the end, I was like, Dave just gone rogue. It's the sports executive.
No, I think that there's a lot of people, coaches said this, that people had kind of given up on her. And so I just wanted to give her a shout out that I'm proud for the program, obviously for East Carolina, but I'm proud for her and their hard work and the fact that I love defense. And I know that may not be sexy, but that's kind of like the foundation for the house because the defense was there. And a night like tonight, guys, the offense wasn't there, but you can still play hard on defense and they come out with a victory.
Defense wins championships.
There you go. Well said, my friend. Well said. Hey, can I say something real quick? I'm just shocked in a good way.
I wish you would.
Thank you. I'm just shocked in a good way. We've got people watching and listening right now. And it's early in the morning. I was thinking, okay, I guess we're better than
Dave. Don't ever say you're shocked. We have people watching and listening.
No, listen to me. Listen to me. The fact that it's 1:35 in the morning and they choose us over some infomercial or old movie or old TV show. They pick
or
us.
Sleep.
Or sleep, exactly. But maybe they can't sleep. So they're like, we'll watch the guys on the Sports Objective. And hopefully that doesn't put them to sleep. So.
Well, I thank everybody for watching and listening. And if you ain't watching or listening live, if you listen to us on a couple of days later, maybe sometime Friday afternoon, who knows tomorrow? You know, the women do it tonight. You know, you never know tomorrow. As Lou Holtz would say, they put their pants on the same way we do. I mean, so they got to go out there and play the game. Houston may come out ice cold. The Pirates may come out red hot, hitting three after three after three. You know, upsets happen every day. So, hey, you know, it would shock the world tomorrow. You know, it would be the top story in college basketball for the day.
No doubt about it. That's a great way. Speaking of recruiting, Bubba, and talking about the men's basketball, let's go to Pirate basketball. Men's basketball got a huge win earlier yesterday afternoon. And I know you want to go to that post game, right?
Yeah, we have the post game with head coach Mike Schwartz and then also Jaden Walker and RJ Felton, who had absolutely huge days. You had four Pirates in double figures led by Jaden and RJ. They both had 22 points. Not only did they have 22 points, you had them contributing in other ways as well. Jaden had a double-double, 22 points, 10 assists, and I think 6 or 7 rebounds. So flirting with the triple-double. And then I want to say RJ had at least 5 or 6 rebounds as well, in addition to those 22 points. David Kasanganai, great to see the senior come off the bench and score 10 points. And then you also had Ezra Assar. Ezra had 10 points and 5 or 6 boards. So awesome to see those four Pirates in double figures. And let's hear from Coach Schwartz, Jaden Walker, and RJ Felton right now.
All right, welcome. We're joined today by East Carolina Coach Michael Schwartz, players Jaden Walker and RJ Felton. Coach, before we get to questions, if you would give us just some general comments about the game.
Yeah, just great respect for Coach Gregory and the South Florida program and their players. We've had 3 hard-fought games this season. Just the ultimate respect for Coach Gregory and his program. Very proud of our guys to come back and fight, especially after a little bit of a slow start, in terms of the first 4 minutes particularly. But very proud of these two guys and our whole group for fighting, the rest of the way. And we're fortunate to be able to win this game.
All right, do we have questions? Okay, friends,
Jaden, RJ, it felt like you guys just took over this thing after that slow start. What seemed to be working for you guys? You both finished with 22 points. What seemed to be the momentum there heading into that final stretch after that slow start?
Over the time, like down to three games when Javon went down, we had a new man step up. Jaywalk had to step up in that role. Step up in the PG spot. He's prevailing in the role, and I'm learning how to play off of him. We build that chemistry over the past times, and we're looking on to set each other up on and off the ball.
No further questions from the front. Okay, Chuck, let's go to Zoom.
Hey, on the Zoom, we can start with Patrick Mason from the Daily Reflector, please.
Coach, for you guys to turn them over 14 times, then to score 19 points off of those turnovers, I guess how important was that to coming back on them and also just, you know, just keeping that distance against them?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know about keeping the distance, but defense was definitely what we knew we had to do to have a chance to win this game. They're extremely explosive offensive team. Both our first two games, we talked about that we had guarded well for a lot of the game, but we had two stretches in both games where we allowed them to go on 10-0, 12-0 runs that ended up being the difference in the game. So we couldn't allow that to happen. And turnovers, obviously, if you can force some turnovers, that does that's probably the number one thing you can do to stop a team from going on a run, especially if you can convert on those turnovers. But defense was just such a huge aspect of our game plan going into the game. And once we stopped turning the ball over ourselves within the first 4 minutes of the game, we were able to set our defense. You can't set your defense if you're turning the ball over because they're out running. So once we could set our defense, even if we didn't make the shot, we could set our defense. And I thought our guys were excellent on that end tonight.
Okay, we'll go next to Steve and I go, please.
Jaden, the first time y'all met South Florida, the first two times you were playing more off the ball, playing point guard tonight, how did that maybe change things for you guys, you know, as far as game plan, and obviously just kind of change the flow of the game and, you know, how it came out?
You know, piggybacking off of what RJ said, we took a loss from Jamal Small. You know, he got injured earlier in the season, and I started playing point guard, so I had to step up. And tonight, you know, I just had to keep being aggressive. And once we got through that little shaky start we had at the beginning of the game started to slow down. And, you know, just was looking for my teammates to be in the right spots, and we was able to capitalize off of that.
Okay. Other questions, please?
Coach, you know, Harris ended up scoring, I think, 26, but he had to take 22 shots to do it. So were you happy with kind of just how much y'all made him work to get those points?
Well, you know, you and I talked about this before we headed to Fort Worth, and you just can't shut him down. I mean, you could try, and you're going to do that, and that was obviously our focus. But if you put it on shutting him down, and that ends up being what your barometer is of success, you know, you're not going to come out on the positive end of that a lot, because he's that dynamic of a scorer. But what you can do is you can try and make him take shots on our terms, which I thought we did tonight. We got him off the line a few times, whereas in the first two games, he got those threes up. And when he can shoot the ball comfortably, he can put a 6-0, 9-0 run on you in a hurry. So to make him take 22 shots, that's an advantage for us, because not only that, but maybe Shua's a little bit less involved in the game because, you know, he's a huge part of their offense too. And great credit to Luigi DeBoe and what he did. Obviously, he started, I would venture to say, without looking at it, this is probably as close to a career high in minutes, if not it, for him tonight. And for him to battle on that end defensively versus their big fella, you know, give great credit to Luigi.
Coach, how important was the perimeter game for you guys, just even offensively? I know Dave hit three-pointers in the first half, and then obviously RJ hit four more in the second half. Just, I'm sure, spacing the floor-wise, but how important was that for you guys offensively?
Yeah, it's really important. But again, you know, these guys to my left are the ones that did it. They knew, you know, we went in with the game plan of understanding what we wanted on offense to play with a purpose. We tried to execute. We just turned it over. It doesn't matter how much purpose you have. If you give the ball to the other team, you're not going to have good results. But once Jaden, you know, kind of felt, got comfortable in the game, reading their ball screen defense, I thought Jaden, as he has done the last six or seven games, did a fantastic job picking apart in terms of where the pass needed to go. I mean, that's all he can do. Once he's reading the coverage of their post defender, reading the coverage of the on-ball defender, he makes the next play. And then RJ, Dave, and other guys stepped up and made shots today. You can't count on shots going in all the time, but what you can count on, is making the right read. And Jaden and RJ did that, and we capitalized by making some shots, which is big for us.
Okay, next we'll go to Eric Gullickson, please.
Hey guys, congratulations. You got a big test on board tomorrow against Houston, team you guys just saw very recently, just a couple weekends ago. You know, what can you guys kind of take out of that game and seeing them in person to help you get ready for tomorrow? Any of the players?
Well, playing against Houston the first time, it was more of a learning experience than anything. They had beat us on the glass a lot. We had to focus on rebound and on learn matching up to the physicality to them. Yes, they're the number one team. Kudos, and I give respect to them. But I just feel like we just got to match their energy as we play against them.
Coach, before we let you go, the ECU women's team is playing for the conference championship tonight. Anything you want to have to say about on their behalf?
Go Pirates! Let's get a championship tonight.
Yes, sir.
Go ladies.
ECU, we see you.
This should be played at high volume.
ECU, we see you.
All right. It's great to have Coach Schwartz there. And
probably we're wrapping up the show there for a second.
There too. Kyle, I know that it's late here, almost 2 o'clock in the morning, recording this live, and obviously appreciate all of you that catch it on the archives. Like you said, any final thoughts before we go as we're wrapping things up?
Congratulations to the ladies. Basketball season continues for the Pirates, no matter what happens tomorrow with the man against Houston, because women will be in the big dance. Be interested to see where they're seated, where they're playing, what the seed will be, who the opponent will be. Got all that to look forward to, and who knows, later today. We might make history, meet the number one team in the country. You never know.
That would be fantastic. And Bubba, I know, want to remind everybody, of course, extra.
And baseball. We got baseball tonight, Liberty.
And that's right, Liberty coming into town. And I know we have an advantage there, beating the Flames a number of times. So good luck to the Pirates. And obviously, another tournament for the Lady Pirates when it comes to softball. I know lacrosse has been doing well, so proud of the spring sports. Been killing it, man.
Yeah. I haven't been keeping up with lacrosse, but I know the softball team's gotten off to a good start. I guess that's continued. So, Pirates looking good all the way around.
6-1 for lacrosse, by the way, but we'll see how they do this weekend. But good luck to all them. And, Bubba, I know we've got programming coming up, and obviously we'll have overtime after probably tomorrow night or sometime tomorrow afternoon, right?
Yeah, we'll have that, and then we'll have on Sunday evening, we'll have extra innings, taking a look back at the Queens victory, 5-2 in 10 innings. What a night that was at Atrium Health Ballpark, a little bit too of exciting of a night. But
I enjoyed that game.
How much did you pay for, by the way, Bubba, how much did you pay for the ticket?
$10.
So you got like $25 worth of a ball game, right? You should have given them extra money for that.
Yeah.
That pitcher pitched the game of his life for Queens. I enjoyed watching that game.
Did you hear about that? He pitched how many innings? He went
8 2/3, I guess it was, and then 129 pitches.
And he had 2 days rest, Kyle. How about that? 2 days.
You don't want to do that too much. He's gonna ruin his arm. But
exactly. But anyway, I'll keep my mouth shut. And by the way, did you see that picture of the dude that was had the one-handed finger salute right near Bubba?
I did. Yeah, I don't know what that was about, Bubba. Do you know what that was about?
That's no clue. I didn't know that it had happened until you guys sent me the picture.
I was like, poor Bubba is like one of the nicest guys ever, and he's got some dude, and I won't say the word I want to use right now, even though I can, some un-nice dude.
How do you know? He may have been provoked. I mean, you don't know what the situation was. There have been many a time I flipped somebody the finger and used all kinds of foul language. It doesn't, you know, that's the reaction. You don't know what he was done to be provoked.
I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad that we got the victory and a great turnout, right, Bubba? 2,500?
Yeah, almost 2,500 there. The majority of those were Pirate fans. And
well, what the hell's a Queens fan?
Yeah, there were very few there.
They love Raiders.
You did have some local just baseball fans attending the game.
Yeah, I saw a guy in the NC State hat.
Yeah, you had some of that. You know, folks, it's Kannapolis, not Charlotte. Not that you wouldn't have had a little bit of that in Charlotte, but you're more prone to have it, more apt to have that kind of thing in Kannapolis because there's not as much going on, obviously, as downtown Charlotte. So some folks, eager for the cannonballer season to start here in a month and a half, came out and then did the same thing the following night as Charlotte lost a heartbreaker, I think something like 13-11 to UNC Wilmington. And they had, I want to say, 1,700 at that game. So pretty impressive that although pretty impressive, not surprising that we had more for our game than Charlotte did for UNC Wilmington, because we clearly have a strong alumni base in this part of the state and just an overall strong following for baseball when games are played in state. I mean, folks from Raleigh or other parts to the east traveling to Kannapolis for the game.
That is impressive there. Hey, Bubba. Off the top of my head, isn't there this year we're playing in four minor league ballparks?
Correct.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. You've already played in the DBAP and Atrium Health Ballpark. And then you'll be playing in downtown Charlotte at the Charlotte Knights Stadium.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, April 19th against the 49ers.
Is that Truist Field?
And then you also have the game at the ballpark down in Fayetteville against Campbell.
Yep.
And then who knows, there may be others, but at least those four off the top of my head.
I think our ODU game is going to be at a minor league ballpark in Norfolk. I'm almost
positive. Is that where the Tides play?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't think realize so. That. Okay.
I think so. Don't quote me on that 100%, but I think I heard
you may
that.
Be right. Yeah, now that you say that, I remember reading something about where the – okay. That would be cool. So that's a good – to me, the reason I brought that up is I think that's great for our not only our fan base because we get more fans there, but also the fact that it gives our guys experience, especially coming tournament time down in Clearwater. That's definitely a minor league park and a big park for the Phillies.
Yeah, and Dave, you talk about the atmosphere and how the majority of that 2,400-plus that we had at Atrium Health Ballpark were Pirate fans, and the crowd did a good job of staying in it despite the bats being quiet really, I think, helped propel the team to the victory and really, really got loud there in those last couple innings when we tied it and then pushed across three runs in the top of the 10th. But check out our video on our YouTube channel. I captured a lot of that, and I moved down there behind the plate where you guys saw me. Just for the final inning, and the reason I did that just because I saw folks saying that there was no volume on the ESPN Plus feed,
correct.
So I wanted them to have an accurate depiction of what the crowd was like and how many Pirate fans were there.
Yeah, you can see it on the TV, and I kept syncing my tune in audio with Scott calling the game and Coach O and I had it perfectly synced, finally perfectly synced, because I'm anal about that. I couldn't have it 1 second off, so I had it, I kept pausing the game, had it synced, and then somebody called me and I just said, screw it, I'm not going through that again. So I watched the last about four innings with no audio because I wasn't gonna try to sync it again.
It was driving me nuts, man.
Yeah, well, you can get it synced, but then, you also in the back of your mind know, well, now I'm watching it slightly delayed, so what's happening? And then when the phone call happened, I said, screw it, I'm not syncing it again. I'll just watch the rest of it with no volume.
Yeah, so make sure to check us out this weekend on Sunday night for Extra Innings. And speaking of Extra Innings, brought to you by our good friends at Next Level Training Center. And you can simply go to nextleveltc.com. Give them a call, 252-756-NEXT. And we appreciate Trent, Gaynell, Brett, their support of the program. And Kyle, you know what I've got to do this weekend, bro? I've got to order the pgxgloves.com. So I've got to go there for my kids for baseball and softball. I'm going to do it this weekend finally.
Yeah, it's time to order gloves, some baseball, softball season. You need your batting gloves. Maybe you're about to go hit the greens and play a little golf. You need some new golf gloves. Whatever you're, they got the swag. There we are right on the screen. If you're watching, they got the swag also. They've got football gloves. Any kind of gloves you need, they got it. And don't forget about the swag and apparel. Put in promo code ECU at checkout. Save yourself 25%. That's at pgxgloves.com. Go get yourself something.
Thanks, Kaz, for your support of the program. Means a lot. And by the way, somebody who means a lot to me, guys, before we go, I've got one more thing, Bubba. I normally wouldn't do this, but I want to give a praise report. I know Kyle's going to say I'm bragging about my great daughter, Mackenzie Blair. My daughter finally got on the honor roll. I'm so proud of her. She's been working really, really hard. So she gets embarrassed when I talk about her on the air, but I want to give her a shout out for her hard work. She's come a long way here in third grade. So love you, baby. And keep those grades coming. It's great to see your kid excited that they made the honor roll, especially for the first time, and really proud of her. So, guys, do you have anything else before we go?
Not a thing.
All right. Appreciate everybody. Thanks to Kim McNeil, her great players winning that championship, 46-44, again in Fort Worth at Dickey's Arena. And also the men winning and the play-in game, basically, and they're going to the quarterfinals tomorrow against, today, later on at Houston. We had their press conference. Congratulations on their win against USF today. Big one in Fort Worth. All right. We'll see you later on today. We don't know what time yet for overtime. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Good night, good day, and we'll talk to you later. As always, go Pirates.
Everyone, I copy that. Everybody in the stands go bananas, scream loud, but they don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons blast. Get it on, get it all, get the wave going, let the hurry.